Back again as we continue with the April 2016 edition of the Mike Moore Show on Dakota Country 1210.
KOKK.
Performance Radio News Director Zach Nelson, along with Beadle County State's Attorney Mike Moore, and special guest this month, Krista Herron-Graber, the Executive Director of the South Dakota Network Against Family Violence and Sexual Assault. Again, Krista, thank you very much for the time here. On a Saturday, of all things, I'm assuming you're coming from Sioux Falls?
The office is in Sioux Falls. I actually live in Freeman.
Oh, even farther? Would that be farther?
No, I think it's closer.
That would be shorter, yeah. But not a whole lot, I would imagine. So either way, thank you very much for taking the time to be up here with us. We appreciate you taking the time to be on the show with us this month.
Thank you.
I wanted to, we've talked about starting this, the prevention early. Do you believe it is possible that sexual assault could be eliminated with the right amount of early intervention and proper education about it?
Well, ultimately, that would be the goal, that we wouldn't have sexual assault and we would eliminate it. And I would like to think that that would happen someday. It sure seems sometimes, though, that there's more and more cases. When we talk about sexual assault, it's also Child Abuse Prevention Month, and we know that there's a significant amount of child sexual abuse that happens. So earlier prevention is very important. But when we focus on prevention for children, we really want to focus on adults being trained to recognize when a child may be experiencing abuse at home, whether it be sexual abuse or otherwise, to be able to intervene to help that child. For years, we talked about child abuse prevention as good touch, bad touch, red light, green light, some of those programs that many of the listeners probably went through, and they are very helpful and great. But we don't want to train the child to recognize it and get help because they're a child. We want to train the adults to recognize it and to be able to step in and help the child. And that's really where we're going. I think where society's kind of going now with sexual assault prevention is really recognizing earlier the better, but we really need to train professionals and others how to recognize it, that a child is being abused at home or someplace, and be able to step in and provide intervention.
Yeah, and I think just to bring that up on child abuse, I just got done last week trying a case up in Clark County. We have a deputy that's a regional prosecutor that specializes in sexual assault and domestic violence cases. This was a rape in the first degree, a child under 13. The defendant was Colin Anderson, the child's father, biological father. So, I mean, it was a difficult case, but a lot of that, like what Chris is talking about, is we talk about that during trial. We talk about grooming behaviors. We talk about things you may or may not recognize on a child. We talk about, coaching or suggestibility, sensory details. What does a 8 or 9 year old know? Those are some things, and we try to educate that jury. So the jury that sat in that case knows a lot more about child sexual abuse than they did, obviously, before they started that case. And it would be nice to get some of that information to the people, because I think that by information is power. And if you have that information out there, I think that the end result would be preventing some of these things from happening. And, it's a terrible thing what we had to do. We did get a guilty verdict, 4 counts of rape in the first degree. So that person is going to be held accountable. The victim who's a survivor now, is going to have a difficult adjustment and probably never get past this her entire life. And there'll be counseling and things like that. But, it's too bad that, and that's what I say, is Zach asked, can we prevent this? I don't know that we'll ever be able to stop it all from happening. Obviously, that is the goal. But I think if we can get education out there and prevention out there and just stop this happening once, to save one victim from having to go through this, I think that would be a great thing.
I completely agree. And there's many people that have had experiences with abuse in their childhood or adult life, and our survivors and are doing amazing things with their life. So it may impact their life forever, and it may change it, but that doesn't mean that they can't turn it around and do something to really help their community and society. But also just, I just want to send the message, I guess, to victims and survivors that you really can move on. And many of us are here to help you and have, you know, a good life. And we want to be there to support that, because it's absolutely not the victim's fault what happens to them. And that's a part of the prevention, too. And the intervention is make sure that there's enough services and people there to support the victim survivors so they can move on.
Right. And I think you make a great point. I mean, we talked about prevention. We talked about the, you know, that trial a little bit. Just, but you're right. And victims and survivors, there are resources there for them. It's our job to make them aware of that. So let's talk about that. Is how can we improve in this state on our response? And talk from a law enforcement standpoint, to a prosecution standpoint, to a counseling standpoint. What can we do to improve over the next couple of years in that area?
Well, there is more and more focus on sexual assault response teams. So the collaborative approach, the multidisciplinary approach of working together with law enforcement, prosecution, victim advocates, medical personnel, and others to make sure that it minimizes the amount of times the victim may have to tell their story, doesn't re-victimize the victim, focuses on holding the offender accountable and being able to move ahead the process. We have 66 counties in the state. It's really difficult to have physical services available in all those counties, but we make an attempt to have that available. And so trying to have services readily available in the counties, even at the hospitals. So if someone would need to go to get an exam done after a sexual assault, an advocate could be called to the hospital to be with them. For children, we strongly encourage child assessment centers. Child's Voice being one in Sioux Falls. There's a child's central assessment in Pierre, South Dakota. Anyway, and there's other child assessment centers across the state, and we strongly recommend that approach because there's a counselor, an advocate, and a multidisciplinary team available to not only work with the victim, but also their family and the impact that it will have on the family during the whole investigative process.
And, you know, when the child's reports, I think that we are doing a lot better in that area. Since I've been prosecuting 20 years, I think we do an amazing job with children now, and we treat it as a medical issue. They get a medical diagnosis. They're interviewed one time. It's recorded. Everybody can see it. With adults, I think that we're still struggling on trying to find what the best protocol is. And I was doing a training in Box Elder last week, too, and we talked about that. And it seemed to me like law enforcement was a little resistive to the fact that to have an adult victim interviewed one time by a like kind of like a forensic interview in a child case. And I know that's going on some places. What's your thoughts on that? Is moving more towards the child model with older victims of sexual assault?
Well, if it's something that's going to work the best for the prosecution to be able to hold the offender ultimately accountable, I'd be in favor of it. And of course, if it's going to minimize the whole process for the victim survivor, that would be very important, because retelling the story multiple times and going through that process can be really, really difficult for a victim. So yes, I would be very supportive of anything that would make that process better for everyone involved.
We're getting ready to take our next break here. One quick question before we go to the break. I know we're talking about prevention, the services after something like this. I like to ask, I know I've asked this question of Mike a million times, are the laws in the state adequate? What would you like to see the legislature pass to help, if anything?
That's kind of a difficult question. So there's some things that I can say Jolene's Law Task Force, which actually Representative Gibson was a part of Jolene's Law Task Force from Huron, really focused on increasing, adding mandatory reporting. They added some professions to the mandatory reporting law for child abuse, which was very positive. They tried to get a definition for child assessment centers passed this last session, and that didn't go through. So any type of laws that would be consistent and be helpful to hold offenders accountable and for victim safety, we would of course be supportive of. I can't think of anything specifically right now to mention, and I'm sure that there are different things, but I can really highlight that there's been some very positive things that have happened as well. So we're really excited, like the Attorney General, Marty Jackley, has hired additional staff at the Crime Lab to handle the backlog of rape exams. And that's a real positive step for South Dakota. So I can really see that there's been a lot of movement and hope to see more.
Very good. You're listening to the Mike Moore Show on Dakota Country, 1210.
KOKK.
We're back to wrap up the program after this.